Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
First Peter chapter 3, we are in our... I threw you a curveball there. We're in our Unmasking Lies message series. Hallelujah. How many of you know a lot of people like to live in a lie because sometimes they think it's easier to live in a lie than it is to go into the light? They think that somehow ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss, it's just ignorant. Right? The fear of the truth is always worse than the truth itself. Always worse. The fear of truth is always worse than truth itself. You with me? We got to love truth, amen? You love truth? You got to love truth and hate a lie, amen? We got to love truth. Hallelujah. And so we want every lie to be unmasked in our life and in the lives of our family and our loved ones. It's so painful talking to people who refuse and fight hard to keep lies at work in their lives, because when you believe a lie, you empower the liar, right? And I don't want the liar to have power in my life. How about you? Let's get in the Word here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 12, the Word of God says, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Verse 13, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled." Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what I want to accomplish today. All over the world, there are people today who've opened the Bible. They have gathered together to be taught a lesson. And I love teaching. I love the gift of the teacher. I love understanding. Today, my goal is a little bit more revelatory. Today, my goal is a little bit more that you would be able to see the truth that God is trying to unpack in these scriptures in your life. Does that make sense? I think it's really good to have understanding. It's really important that we teach. But sometimes we just need to be shown things. You ever try to convince somebody that something's going on in their life and they just refuse to believe you, and you say, "Well, I just hope that you catch the person doing this so you can believe for yourself." Amen? You can try to teach them all you want. You can try to convince them. And then all of a sudden, you become the enemy. You ever had that happen? You love someone. You're trying to show them something wrong is happening, and they categorize you as the enemy instead of the one who's actually tormenting them. It's not my goal today to teach you so much as it is to kind of uncover the darkness in your life. I had a prophetic word a couple weeks ago that I shared. Was it 2 weeks ago? Was it last week? Oh, it was just last week. I got it a while ago. I've been living it so long now, it feels like it's been a while. Kellyanne kind of alluded to it in that we're in a season where God's kind of unmasking the false. Anything that isn't true is a lie. It's a lie, right? And we don't want to live with lies. God's unmasking the false and revealing the truth, because the truth has power, there's freedom, there's life, right? That's what we want, yeah? We want to live in freedom, yeah? We're just getting some momentum here. Trying to get a little momentum here. We want freedom, yeah? I want freedom. I don't like being controlled, I like to be free. Hallelujah. And so today, I want to be able to minister life here so you could possibly see areas of your life that are being controlled outside of your will. Not me, Pastor. Let's see. Amen? My main goal today is to overcome fear and manipulation. I want to overcome fear and manipulation. They say free people are very hard to lead because they get to make their own choices. And so you have to lead them into more freedom. It's very difficult. You remember, if you're old like me, when the Soviet Union fell, they tried to reform it. But once people get a taste of freedom, they want to destroy every wall. And the Berlin Wall lasted for a long time until someone realized that, hey, there's something good on the other side of it. And then it was no holding the people back anymore. Free people don't want to be controlled, right? People who believe a lie think it's better for them to be controlled. And I want you to know that that is not God's will for your life. Let's look at our scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 12, says, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Two things I want you to see here. Number one, we see that the eyes of the Lord are, look at this, toward the righteous. His eyes are toward the righteous. Also, his face is against those who do evil. His face is against those who do evil, and they are toward the righteous. Now, this scripture, of course, in your Bible, if you notice, it's printed differently than the other scriptures because the writer is quoting another scripture out of the Old Covenant, right? That's how you can tell when you're reading, they're quoting something else in the New American Standard Bible that I read. It's in all caps. Yours may have brackets or italicized or something like that to show you that it comes from somewhere else. And unfortunately, when they wrote these letters, they didn't actually attribute these things anywhere. Have you noticed, and I'm just going to just say this as an aside, this attribution is far more important to preachers today than it was to the people who even wrote the scriptures. Just wasn't that important to them because they figured the Spirit of God would be there to confirm what is true. You had to actually rely on the Spirit of God back then. Now you can just take people's word for it, which I don't believe is God's will. But what you see here is he's quoting scripture, and there's several places in the Old Covenant that gave this promise that his eyes are toward those who do righteous. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we see they dedicated the temple, and they quoted this in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Leave that there. His eyes are moving to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Then he says, "You've acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." His eyes are there to support those who want what he wants. He's looking for people to empower to do the things that are in his heart. We spend a lot of time begging God to do things that he already said he wants to do. It's like, just display my heart. My eyes are looking for people who want to display my heart, and I will empower them to do that. Now, if you have other goals, well, he's saying there's going to be some drama following you. And some people say, well, God has cursed me. God has punished me. No, that's not what the scripture says. It says, if your heart is not lined up with my heart, then wars are coming. Let me put it in today's terms. You're going to have a life of drama. It's not God's desire for you to have drama in your life. Can you hear me? It's not God's desire for there to be drama. It's not. I want to live in a no drama zone. How about you? I want people to enter my zone of life, and all of a sudden drama no longer has any power. Right? It's like you show up in a costume to a formal party. You just look at a place and it's just not going to work. So when people come with the drama into my zone, you look like a clown, and you're just not entertaining me with it. I'm not going to squeeze your nose. You're not going to hit me with a water bottle. I'm not going to look at your big feet. It just doesn't work here. Does that make sense? He says that. He said, listen, there's a drama zone. And if you don't line up with my will, then you're going to live in it. I want to live in a zone of grace and peace. How about you? Where there is a lot of drama, this is the New Carl translation, where there is a lot of drama, truth is not established. Truth is not established. Because God is not the author of confusion, the Bible tells us. So when you don't know what's going on and there's confusion and you see the drama and there's this person saying that and that, you know, there's sin has established itself somehow. Sin is established in a lie. It is revealing a false truth. And so you don't know what's going on because there isn't truth. I don't want to live that way. I lived a long time like that. And then I got saved and I had no desire to go back. Definitely don't want to do it in church. Amen? Hallelujah. There is no crazier drama than church drama. Just bored people making problems. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't need that. I don't need church drama. How about you? Say no to church drama. Just say no to church drama. Just say no. Sweet Jesus. You want to fast? Fast drama. Okay, I don't want to go there. I'm about to go down the road. In that scripture, in 2 Chronicles, it talks about how they created a place for the ark, right? It all is about how they created this place for the ark. And the ark, of course, in the Old Covenant, in our New Covenant, represents the presence of God, right? And so they created a place for the ark, the presence of God, to dwell, right? And he said, listen, if you devote yourself to this, if you devote yourself to this, creating a place for my presence to dwell, if you devote yourself, your heart, to this, creating an environment that God feels at home in, right? If you will sanctify a place for this in your life, he said he would be there and he would never leave. Now, that was the old covenant. We now live in a better covenant. Now, if they just made a place for this ark to reside, imagine if you in your life sanctified your heart, set apart your heart, and said, I'm creating a place in my life for the presence of God to dwell. I want to live my life in a way that Holy Spirit says, wow, I recognize what's going on there. This represents the character, nature, and heart of God. I am going to dwell in the midst of that person, his family, his life, his finances, his business, his relationships, his ministry. If you say, man, in the old covenant, if they did that and his presence dwelled there, could you imagine in this new better covenant where the sin has been taken care of, what we can inherit here in this? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? This is truth. I want to lay a foundation here. This is truth. The truth is that God wants to dwell in the midst of your life. You are not disqualified. I remember, and many people have experienced this, when you come to Christ, you come and you just got all kind of drama that's coming with you, right? You meet people who have been in church a long time and their lives look weird, enviable, but weird, because there's such a peace and a harmony in their life that just looks foreign. And you may be asking, is it possible that someday I can get part of that? I'm here to let you know all that and more. All that and more. I'm here to tell you all that and more. It is God's desire that every good thing that you see in other people that who have been walking with Christ longer than you, God wants that and more. You like that because God has it for you. Your heart is drawn to it because that is God drawing your heart to his presence, his peace, his purpose. This is what he wants to do in your life. And so we try to manage our life in a way that we can kind of manage the drama and not have any fallout from it. And God's like, it doesn't work that way. You cannot manage sin. Hear me. You cannot manage sin. It's too toxic. It's too caustic. You cannot. You can't hold it. You can't contain it. You can't atone for it. Only God can handle it. Right? Bible says in the Old Covenant that the blood of rams and bulls covered sin. However, the blood of Jesus washes sin away. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, there's a lot of believers who try to cover their sin, but that covenant is gone. Can't cover it. It's just too obvious. And wisdom is known by her children, right? The fruit bears witness of what's going on there. But we have to have a foundational truth in our lives. Hear me. We have to have a foundational truth in our lives that we can trust God and he has good plans for us. You gotta believe that he has set this whole thing up because he has good plans for your life. He has good thoughts toward you. He has good plans for you. He has good intentions for you. He's doing something amazing that he wants to manifest through you. You got to get that set in your mind. In your heart has to believe that God has good plans for me. And you may have messed things up. You may have done things wrong. You may have gotten it off. You may have lied, cheated, and stolen even since you've been saved and think that now somehow you have forfeited God's heart towards you has not changed. Amen? You have to believe that his heart towards you has not changed. Now listen, you may be living some of the effects of your sin. It's better not to sin. I mean, it just is what it is, you know? If you, stole a car and you're on trial and you're like, well, I repented, now I won't go to jail, doesn't work that way. I wish it did. No, I don't actually. I just, I think about it. No, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with that. Spiritually, you're free. I don't want to live spiritually free in a natural prison my whole life, though. Amen? I want this freedom to manifest in my whole life. And that's what God wants for you. Here's what I'm saying, though. God does not disqualify you based on your mess-ups. He still has amazing plans for you. Now, sometimes there are natural consequences. If you jump off of a building, you can repent of being dumped, but you're still going to hit the ground. Right? People confuse these things somehow. I don't understand where they get kind of weird with it. I don't know where I'm going with that. But I want to read you this out of the Old Covenant, Jeremiah 29. Many of you know this scripture very well. Jeremiah 29, 11, if you have it back there, folks. I don't know if I gave you that paper. Can you give that to them? Because that's actually the scriptures they're going to need. Kevin's reading them, though. Kevin has them. Kevin's good, everybody. In Kevin's defense, he didn't know that they didn't have it. But we can still make fun of him because that's fun, too. I love you, Kevin. That's what I came down there looking for. Thanks for letting me know. Jeremiah 29, you guys there? While you're turning there, while they're getting stuff up. Oh, they got it. Look at that. You guys are awesome. You know, as Kellyanne was on stage and she starts, praying in the Spirit, let me just take a little aside here, if you don't mind, to teach a second on that gift. The scriptures clearly teach, and I have a teaching online that you can listen to this. There's a false teaching that says you cannot pray in the Spirit in public unless there is an interpretation. That sounds great, it's just not in the Bible. It's just not in the Bible. What it says is, if you think you're being spiritual by teaching people in tongues, if nobody interprets it, at some point stop. Because you're not helping anybody. He says get two or three, and if there's no interpretation, please move on, because it's weird. Right? It doesn't say don't let anybody hear you pray in the Spirit, and it's only for, quietly to hide Holy Spirit at home. That's not what it said. So Kellyanne said, hey, everybody, let's begin to pray in the Spirit to stir ourselves up, because that's what the gift mostly is for. Amen? And so she began to stir herself up in the Spirit. Now, did you get anything out of that? Probably not. You know why? Because it wasn't for you. That was for her, stirring herself up in the Spirit. That's why she did it. However, she didn't know this. Maybe she did. I got an interpretation of that while you were sharing the tongue. And what's really funny was, as you were sharing that, I got the interpretation. And the interpretation was that thing that you shared a testimony for, you were praying in the Spirit that it would happen to other people, that the heavens would open. And then immediately after that, we went into the song singing about the heavens are open, your glory, now you reign and all that stuff. And I began to watch it happen. So it's really easy to kind of judge that people are doing stuff wrong, but it's possible that we should just humble ourselves a little bit. Maybe I don't know everything. Is it possible that God may be moving in somebody and he didn't clear it with me first? Es posible. Jeremiah 29, 11. I want you to see this. I want you to see God's heart for you. Now hear this. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Isn't that funny that God has to tell you that? Has he ever told you that in prayer? Hey, listen, stop telling me what to do. Sometimes he has to say, hey, guess what? I've been doing this thing for a while. Right? Sometimes God's got to check you like that. Like, you're really praying really good there. I need you to calm down a little bit. I got this. Right? It's almost like, poor little God. If I don't pray, he can't do it. If I don't make this declaration, he can't do it. Where were you when he laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when he parted the earth from the ocean? Like, the Bible is pretty clear on this. Oh, you're so awesome. Where were you when I did all this? When I hung the stars in the sky, where were you? Where was your amazing prophetic declaration? Pretty sure I can get these things done on my own. Does he want to partner with us? Yes. Does he need you? No. So awesome that he invites me into the process, though. Amen? So awesome that he invites into, but he can be God, right? And he says, listen, I know. Like, I can just see him talking to Jeremiah. Hey, listen, tell the people. I know you got a plan, but I got one too. I got one too. And I'm probably going to go with mine, he's saying. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare. That's not free cheese here, right? He's talking about, that's not what he's talking about. That welfare is like good things happening, right? That's why they call it welfare, good things happening for free, right? Plans for welfare, because there's a lot of people against welfare these days. God's for it. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And what? I will listen to you. Verse 13, you will seek me and what? Find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, the first half here. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. Will gather you from the nation and from the places where I have. Now listen, here's what he's saying. Listen, you can trust that if you call on me, I'm going to hear you and I'm going to show up. That's the old covenant. That's the old covenant. How much more now? You know how it's even more now? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Surely I will not take my spirit from you, says the Lord. When you feel alone, when you feel like there's nobody there, you feel like maybe God is hidden, I need you to say, that is a lie. That feeling is not true. Hear me. That feeling is not true. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. The earth can't be flat and round. Only one is true. And he's saying, this is true. I am for you. I am not against you. I have good plans for your life. Listen, I'm hitting this for a reason. Because a lot of people have a lot of bad theology. And they allow a lot of bad stuff to happen to their life because they believe a lie. That somehow God is so disappointed in them that he had to send them cancer. Like, sweet Jesus, what would you have to do for God to send you sickness or financial ruin? Like, what terrible thing did you do? Did you have a mass killing spree? Did you start a cult? You know, well, I didn't give that offering that I said I would give. Oh, and so he sent you cancer? The thing that Jesus paid for on the cross? He partnered with the devil because you're that powerful that you can make God no longer be the truth? Wow, that is amazing. Have you seen any other amazing acts of miraculous works based on what you do? No, then maybe that's not God. God is for you and not against you. He has good plans for your life, right? If you call upon him, he says, I am going to show up. Yeah. You may not feel it because you may not know how to hear him yet, but the Bible cannot lie. Can you hear me? Do you hear what I'm telling you? As a follower of Christ, God is on your side. You hear me? As a follower of Christ, God is on your side. As a follower of Christ, God is on your side. You got to get, God loves you and his love is unchanging. And when his love touches your life, everything changes. Everything changes. I need you to hear this. I'm trying to set a foundation to come against the lies that the devil wants to declare over you. I'm so tired of seeing the enemy destroy people based on lies. I'm tired of it. Tired of it. And I'm just tired of seeing it. I'm tired of people being under a lie and then getting under condemnation and then being cast off because they're disappointed and discouraged and dismayed and something else that starts with D, right? I just get tired of it. Tired of seeing it. I don't want it to happen to you, amen? I don't want it to happen to me. Why did God set you free? Look at this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Keep that up there. What does that mean? Does that mean Jesus is going to make you be free? No. You know what? You're so free that you can choose slavery if you want. How do you choose slavery? By not believing a lie. Also, you have to stand firm and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. This is where I find most Christians who aren't living free. They're stuck right in between those two verses. I believe that Christ set me free, and I'm still waiting for him to set me free again. No, you are free. He already did what he's going to do. Now you have to stand firm and don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery. You have to stand firm and don't be subject to the yoke of slavery. God wants you to be free. Peter says that his face is toward those who love righteousness. It's against those who love evil. Let's go to the next verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Let's move on in our scripture study here. He says, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Now, he says, if you love God, if you love truth, if you love goodness, if you embrace God's heart, God's eyes are towards you. Now, who can harm you if you prove zealous for what's good? You say, well, I know God is for me, but, he's like, well, no. Who can harm you if your eyes are towards God's goodness? How then do you come under this yoke of slavery, manipulation, and intimidation? Let me show you this. Spirit of manipulation and intimidation want to create a false reality to steal your freedom. They create a false reality to steal your freedom. They force you to choose between two things, but the choice isn't real. They bring information in your life to force you into a decision that is not a real decision. You hear what I'm saying? That's why they lie to you. That's why they manipulate you. That's why they want to raise their voice and create pressure that's in your life that isn't really there. God says, listen, if your heart is toward me, you're good. But they come and say, no, but, did you, but this, but they create a false reality to steal your freedom. When you're manipulated, they give you lies and tidbits in a way that force you into the decision that they wanted you to make all along. They want you to do something that benefits them. They're trying to force you in this direction, so they make some lies about this direction. You don't know they had a false motive. You didn't know that they wanted you to do this for their benefit, but they plant all kinds of lies in this area so that you can't freely choose between left and right. They let you know the left is so evil. And then you think, the only good choice is right. When really, the only good choice for them is for you to go right. They create a false reality so they can steal your freedom. This is what the enemy does. False reality to steal your freedom. Jesus Christ wants you to make good decisions based on the truth. Are you hearing me? He says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. But the liars, the manipulators, they call life death.
That's right.
Oh, but if you tell people, they're going to cut you off. If you do, nobody's going to like you. Oh, they're talking about this. They're saying that. Oh, no, but you need to do this. Wow, that's weird, because if I choose righteousness, the Bible said that things would be okay. But, oh, no, I better choose this over here. They're having meltdowns in the children's room. Amen? They are having meltdowns. Bless the workers, Jesus. Hallelujah. I find it interesting. Those of you who are parents of little ones, and if you have older ones now, you might remember this. The enemy will often provoke children when things get good, so to speak. When the Spirit of God begins to move in your home, something good begins happening, the kids will begin to have a meltdown. You ever seen that? Start having an honest conversation, you and your spouse, tensions begin to rise, all of a sudden the kids start having a meltdown. Distraction against dealing with stuff. You gotta be wise to the enemy's tactics, amen? So is that what the kids demonized? No, that's not what I'm saying.
Loose!
No, that's not what I'm saying. Is that every time the kid's screaming, do you have to go, begin doing deliverance ministry? No. But sometimes kids feel what's happening, and so you need to have a little bit more grace, a little bit more compassion, a little bit more mercy, because they can't fight these things. Us as parents, we have to. All right? Are you with me on that?
Loose.
La sangre de Cristo. Let's go on to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Watch this. He says, even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are what? If you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are. So the lie is, leave that up there. The lie is, if you make this choice, bad things are happening. Funny, that's not what the Bible says.
Right. Come on.
The Bible says if I tell the truth, I'm going to be blessed.
Right. Come on.
But fear, manipulation, and intimidation tells me I need to start coloring things a little bit to make sure things turn out good. But the moment you do that, they're not turning out good anymore. Because you can't use a lie and produce the truth. You can't sow bad seed and get a good harvest.
Amen.
Doesn't work that way. You can only sow righteousness to get blessings. So, intimidation, manipulation, it wants you to color it a little bit. Just compromise a little bit. Yeah, just a little compromise. I don't really have any place to live, and, you know, my boyfriend has a place, and, you know, it's like we're married in our hearts. No, it's a lie. You're not married. You're not married. Marriage is a lifelong covenant. It's a covenant forever. Wow, you know, but he really does love me. He loves you. He'll spend money on a ring, and he'll tell the world that he commits his life to you forever. That's what love is. See, that is what love is. The lie is that he likes you a lot, and he likes the benefits of the relationship, and so that's probably good enough. That's a lie. That's the lie. If he loved you, he would want righteousness in your life. Because then you would be blessed. You can't say they love me so they're bringing curses onto my life. What kind of stupidity is that? It's just a little bit of cancer. No. I want blessings in my life. Are you with me here? This is just an example. I'm just using one example. Oh, but if I just lie on my taxes a little bit, then my employer will be able to, get you cursed. We got the loud laughers. We got Brandon. Where's Brandon? Where's Brandon Wise at? Is he in here? We got Brandon. We got Travis. And we got. A little bit of sin. It's just a little bit of sin. You can't manage it. Jesus said, you get that little bit of leaven in there. Oh, it spreads all over the entire thing. Are you with me? We got to just choose truth because that's where blessings come. Are you getting this? Is this making sense? I'm plowing a little bit more than I wanted to. Let me try to bring this home. Let's look at the scripture here. It says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. Don't fear their intimidation. Don't fear their intimidation. Don't be troubled. You stand on righteousness and you'll see blessings come in your life. You got to be honest when people are lying to you and they're manipulating you and they're trying to get you to do things. They're inviting you into their drama. Just because they send you an invitation doesn't mean you got to show up to the party. I know you want to gossip to me about your spouse. I know you want to tell me about these people. I know you want to tell me about your problems and all the drama that you're in. I know, but I don't want to go to that party. I am not interested. No, thank you. Oh, you don't love me? I do love you. That's why I'm not partaking in this. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't like it. Don't want it in my life. Don't want to go back there. It's not love for me to allow you to sow bad seed. It's not love. Not love. That's dumb. That's called empowering. Then people get all kind of codependent. And none of that stuff glorifies Jesus. Let's be honest with people. Let's be real. Some of you, that's your family that does this more than anybody else. It's your family constantly inviting you into drama. And at some point you say, man, I love you, but that's none of my business. It's none of my business. That what they said to you, that's none of my business. Have you said this to them? This is none of my business. This is a conversation you should be having with that person. This is none of my business. Right? They come and try to dominate you. Maybe it's in the workplace. They try to dominate you and create pressure and try to create intimidation and fear, and they just come and you just feel it. Ah! Why? Put it back up. Put the scripture back up. Why? Don't be troubled. I'm being righteous. You're not being righteous. Why would I be upset? Because you're not being righteous. I think I'll protect my peace. I see you're very upset. I'm sorry. Have you noticed how much other people want you to be upset when they're upset? I'm good. No, thanks. I'm good. Thanks. I see what you're offering. I'm just going to decline. That's okay, though. I'm just going to stay in peace if that's all right. Right? Because you're responsible for your heart. You hear me? You're responsible for your heart. You're not responsible for their heart. They can live all kind of demonized and upset and angry and blah, 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 but, whatever. You choose that. You might want to come to church with me and find out how I'm living in peace right now in the midst of all this drama.
Yeah.
Right? They want to create a false reality to steal your freedom. You see this? False reality. Remember Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24? Remember this? I don't want to mess with your end times here, but Jesus answered and said to them, "See that no one misleads you, lies to you, and creates a false reality that steals your peace." Verse 5. Right? And he says, "For many will come in my name and saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and will mislead many." Next verse. "You'll be hearing of," oh, wait a minute, "hearing of wars and rumors of wars." He didn't say you're going to see any of that. You can hear about all kind of drama. Oh my gosh, it's so terrible. This is the worst persecution Christians have ever received. It's terrible in America today. You can't be a Christian. They're stealing our Christianity. It's so terrible. Really? I feel pretty free to practice my religion. I feel pretty free. How about you? You know when they established the United States, you know, there was something like, what was it, 12% that went to church that had a professing faith, active professing faith. Now it's something almost over 50, almost 60%. Wow. Going in the wrong direction for those prophecies. It's almost as if it's increasing, not decreasing. It's almost like there's wars and rumors of wars about our persecution. I don't know. I just think someone just won the presidency by winning over the church. I thought we were going to have less influence. Funny. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Then he says, leave the scripture up. He says, "Wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not frightened." See that you're not frightened. Why? Liars are coming. And they want to steal your peace. When it comes, don't let them. Don't let them. It never comes from first-person accounts. It always is rumors. Well, if you don't do this, you know what's going to happen. Actually, no. I think I'll be blessed. I think God told me I'll be blessed. No. You don't understand. It's going to be so bad for me and for you. No, you mean for you because you'll be uncovered, but I'm still going to be good. I'm going to be good. I'm sorry I'm going a little long here. Give me five more. Well, give me 8 minutes maybe. Can I get 5 minutes, anybody? Five? 5 minutes, anybody? 5 minutes? 10, 15, 20, 25. Okay, I'm good. That ought to do it right there. Here's the goal. Here's the goal in the church today. We talked about it last week. The goal is for fathers to come up. The goal is for fathers. That's male and female. Fathers to rise up in the church today. If you've raised kids, they come home and they're just like, "Oh my God, it's terrible. I can't go back to school." Why? Well, she saw me with my hair looking bad. I'm like, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. I promise you. You're going to make it. "But I can't ever go back. It's terrible. Everybody hates me." They probably don't even remember. Right? That's what fathers do. Fathers say, guess what? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You know what children do? "Oh my God, I hate them too." That's what children do. That's what older brothers do. It's not what fathers do. The goal today is for fathers. It's a perversion of the fathering anointing. People use it, and they gather followers for themselves. It's cultic Christianity. We saw this in the shepherding movement. The church has corrected it, though. But many people still, you know, don't follow fathers. Remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist is an amazing example of a father, much like Jesus. Jesus really exemplified it the best. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11... think about this. People were expecting the Messiah to show up. The calendar said it. The prophecy said it. The scripture said it. Everybody knew. They were looking for the Messiah at this time. Ever since Daniel, they knew the Messiah was coming at this day and age. And all of a sudden, John is leading a revival. People went out to him who didn't even like him because they knew if he is the Messiah, he's going to kill us. And so we better get on his good side. And so they start flattering him. They start heaping praise on him. They try to manipulate John with flattery. They start telling them things like, hey, are you the Messiah? Well, now, what would your heart be like? All the city comes out to say how amazing you are and to watch you in your amazing ministry. They want to tell you how great you are. Wow, you're everything to us. And many men and women today would say, yeah, I really am. As a matter of fact, there's even apostolic and prophetic voices that will begin to teach you how important they are in your life. It's all over the church today. It's all over the church. Yes, if you honor me, then God will bless you. Wow. What did John say? John said, Matthew 3:11, he says, listen, I do baptize you with water for repentance. But there's someone coming after me who's so much greater. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. What did he do? He points them to Jesus. He doesn't say, my needs and my desires are what should be running your life. He didn't say that. He said, listen, anything, any honor you want to give me, any glory, any influence that I have on your life, I want to shift your focus to Jesus. If I have any influence on your life, if I have any voice into your heart, if there's any sway over your desires and your emotions, I want to use that influence and point you to Jesus. I want to point you to Jesus. I'm not going to use it for my benefit. I'm not going to manipulate you for money. I'm not going to manipulate you for fame or love or any of my needs. As a matter of fact, I'm taking it all and I'm pointing it to Jesus. As a matter of fact, we see that John was in prison. And he didn't say to his disciples, hey, you remember how important I was to you? Remember what I did for you? Why don't you storm this place and get me out? No. He said, hey, just make sure that guy that I pointed everybody to is really him. I just want to make sure I use my influence properly. This is John the Baptist. Jesus said it in Luke 3. Jesus said, there's no greater prophet who ever lived than John. If anybody could have been, look at me, it's John. But what'd he do? Hey, I need to make sure that I use my influence. I had this influence in your lives. You were looking to me and the crowds came out and I pointed you to this guy. I need to make sure I stewarded it well. That's a father. That's a father, and that's what the church desperately needs today. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. My God, if the church needs anything in this day and age, is that proverb to come to life. Sweet Jesus, I believe in honor. I believe in blessing. I believe that there's a blessing that comes from it. I believe all that. I believe the Holy Ghost will convict, though. Let me finish with this. In John, 1 John 2, we talked about it last week. There's children. There's people who just come and they're now part of the family. They know there have been forgiveness. They know that they've been adopted in. Then there's adolescence. You remember this in 1 John chapter 2? There's adolescence and they have a history of victory. Remember that? We talked about how they have wars and they've won wars over the enemy. They now have some victory over sin. They've gone from dependence to independence. And then he talks about there's fathers, right? And fathers take responsibility for the well-being of others. It's built in that order, though. Fathers take responsibility for others, but they already know that they're part of the family of God, and they have victories over the enemy. We have too many people, because of their gift, are considered fathers. And they use that gift to have other people take care of their well-being. That's manipulation. Are you hearing me? In the world, people use money to do that. I have money, so I'm going to use you to make me feel good about me. Don't be deceived. You can only export what you have. That's why Paul said, hey, when you set up leaders, look at their lives. Because if you look at their lives, that's what your church is going to look like. If they're not healthy, your church's not going to be healthy. If they have victory over relationships, they live honestly, all of a sudden you're going to have a loving family in the church body. You better know them. Hallelujah. Can I have the band come on up here? I want to finish with this story. Hallelujah. You remember in Matthew chapter 14, you remember Jesus had already fed a bunch of people one time, and now all of a sudden there's another hungry crowd. You remember the story? Hungry people. They had no food. Remember this? And they're like, what do we do? The disciples were there. And they're like, oh, these people are hungry. And Jesus is like, hey, you know, there's no food here. What did the disciples say? The disciples said, man, you got to send these people away, man. This is a big problem. Go. Get rid of these problem people. There's your children and adolescent in the church today. There's problems and they want to send the problems away. What are the fathers doing? Jesus said, no. He's moved with compassion and began operating in miracles. He already had victory, Jesus had. He knew he was part of the family of God. He had victory over the enemy, and he started saying, I'm moved with compassion. I'm looking in compassion. My eyes are toward the hurting. He knew that the Father is looking for those who would manifest his heart. Jesus looked at them and said, no. Whatever I have is going to work here. Fathers are not moved by fear, they're moved by compassion. They're moved by compassion. Jesus was filled with truth, filled with compassion. So today, hallelujah. So today, over you today, it's my heart that we would break off every force at work in your heart other than compassion, other than love, other than peace. Every orphan tendency that causes you to fight for your own and not trust that the Father has good plans for your life. Amen? Stand with me. Father, we love you today. We love you. We love you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In 3 weeks, we're going to start 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm believing that God is going to pour out revelation. He's going to pour out freedom in hearts. We're going to manifest compassion in South Florida. We invite people to this Easter service. They're going to get rocked by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because people need truth. Enough of the lie. And just as we saw in Kellyanne's life of the dust, the dirt coming off of the truth that God wants her to see in the Spirit, I believe in so many people in this room, God is going to remove the false in this season. Every lie that's robbing you of your freedom. Now, for some of you, you're going to have to go to people and say, wow, I lied to you about this. I need to lift this lie off of your life and give you the freedom to make choices again. That's going to be your responsibility in this season. But for many of you, you're just going to have to be walking in freedom, because it's for freedom that Christ set you free. And now you're going to have to safeguard that freedom and cut off the voice of the lie in your life. I believe there's lies of mental health that are going to come off in the name of Jesus. I believe there's lies of bondage that are going to come off in the name of Jesus. I believe there's false friends that are going to be removed from your life. I believe some of you are you're on a ship that's cursed, and the Lord's going to drive it to the rocks, and it's going to feel like your ship is being destroyed underneath you, and the Lord is like, amen, I need to get you off that boat and onto the shores of freedom that I destined you for. And if he's got to send your ship onto the rocks for it to be broken up by the surf, for that to happen, he'll let that happen. Hallelujah. Because freedom is that good. Truth is that good. It's that good. Amen? It's that good. Amen? It's that good. Amen? Amen? Put your hand on your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus.